This is Road to Calvary with Pastor Dave Cook of Calvary Baptist Church. On today's edition.
The word used, by the way, when we say meditate on God's word, we don't mean what you typically think of when you hear meditation. The word the Bible uses for meditation is not referring to emptying your mind and chanting a mantra or something. It gives the picture, the idea, the word picture that's associated with that is a cow chewing its cud, just chewing over it, thinking on it, thinking of the implications of what it's saying. Going over and over the word in your mind and seeking how to apply that to your individual life or situation.
Do you ponder God's word? That is, do you chew it over and over until it penetrates your heart? How powerful! Do you let God's word into your thinking? Today, Pastor Dave explains that meditating on God's word helps us to know how to apply God's love to our lives. For example, deeply pondering the truth that God really does love us heals our feelings of rejection. We heal more quickly and deeply every time we ponder God's truth. Let's spend all the time we need to heal our hearts until they are completely whole. Now, here's Pastor Dave in the book of James chapter 1 as he begins his message, Doers of the Word.
Book of James, we're still in chapter 1. So we're going to read through verses 19 through 27 in a few moments, but first I want to share a brief story. Perhaps you've heard this before. On one occasion, a rather pompous-looking deacon, now of course this could not be a deacon from our church, but a rather pompous-looking deacon was really trying, he was just really endeavoring to impress upon a class of boys the importance of living out the Christian life. And so he said to this classroom of boys in this Sunday school class, he said, okay, kids, why do people call me a Christian? And there was a moment of silence. And then one of the little boys spoke up and said, maybe it's because they don't know you. And we can kind of chuckle at that. But unfortunately, as with most jokes, there is a little bit of truth there. How many of you have heard someone say something like this? And I'm sure you all have. We've talked about it before. Someone saying something like this. Well, I don't go to church. I'm spiritual, or I believe in God, or I believe in Jesus or whatever, but I don't go to church because there's just too many hypocrites there. And I've heard the sarcastic answer to that, right? We sarcastically answer that and say, don't worry, there's room for one more, right? Knowing that we all battle with hypocrisy to one degree or another. None of us are perfect. We have not arrived at the fullness of our faith. But I don't really like that answer, even though that is kind of the sarcastic answer sometimes we give. Of course, none of us are perfect. We all fail. We all do fall into hypocrisy. But hypocrisy should not be what the Church of Jesus Christ is known for. In our conference, we focused on the doctrine of union with Christ, the union of Christ and the believer. If we are, if that's a true doctrine, if we're united with Christ and our lives are bound up with his life and we're known as a hypocrite, what are we unintentionally saying about Jesus? We've spoken a great deal about the fact that we all have a confessional theology, right? We all have this theology that we say, here's what I believe. Let me tell you what I believe. We have a statement of faith for our church. This is what we believe. But then the reality is we also have a practical theology, the way we actually live our lives. And certainly the hope and the goal would be that those two things would line up pretty darn closely. The goal would be that they would line up perfectly. But of course, they don't line up perfectly because we are still sinful human beings. But sometimes they are radically different, and therein we have a huge problem. We are to be not just speakers of the word, not just hearers of the word, but we are to be doers of the word. As some people would put it, we are to practice what we preach. We are to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. This is what we're going to be looking at a bit this morning here in James chapter 1. So let's dive right in. If you would, if you're at James chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Lord, as we come to this text, this very powerful and pertinent text, we pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to look at this text and analyze our own hearts through it, that we would truly examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith, to see if we are living out what we say we believe, that we are doers of the word and not only hearers. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you look at this passage, I think you can pretty plainly see three main things that God is calling us to do here. There's three main things that we can look at here. And the first one is very simply, very easily, we can see we are to hear the word. It's not to be limited to hearing, but we certainly have to hear the word. At the outset of this section of chapter 1, we can see kind of the pastoral heart of James. James is very much caring. We mentioned when we first started this book that James was a prominent leader in the early church. He was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. He has a real pastor's heart, and we see him as he's giving this instruction before he comes in and gives this difficult instruction. He calls his readers, "My beloved brothers." This isn't like reading a dispassionate advice column. This is an instruction and counsel from someone who deeply loves these people that he's writing this to. So what does he have to say? Well, if we go back to verse 18, we see James was writing of us having been brought forth by the word of truth. We talked about we're born again by the power of the Holy Spirit through hearing, reading the gospel. We're brought forth by the word of truth, regenerated by the power of the gospel. And so because that is true, if we are in Christ, if we're followers of Christ, because that's true, we are, as it says there, a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Because we've been brought to new life through the power of the gospel, because we are a first fruits of God's creatures, we need to live as such. We need to live as who we actually are according to God's word. It tells us in verse 19 to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So let's think about the instruction that he gives us here. What does it mean to be quick to hear? I had a former pastor, and I've actually used this a couple of times from here. I can't say it the way he used to say it, but a former pastor of mine, when he was running a little bit long in his message, he would all of a sudden jump in and instruct the people in the congregation. He would say, "All right, listen, guys, you got to start listening a little faster. You got to listen a little quicker because we're taking a little too long to get through this." Well, that's not what James is talking about here. Being quick to hear and slow to speak is about listening more and speaking less. And not only is it listening more, you've heard, you know, two ears, one mouth, right? Well, in addition to listening more and speaking less, we certainly have to hear before we speak. And sometimes, and I have to make sure I don't look at my wife because she'll be like pointing at me, right? Sometimes we tend to speak before we have heard. And I know I am guilty of that. I have definitely been guilty of that. We see that idea a number of other places in Scripture. We see it all over the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13 will say, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame." A few verses earlier, Proverbs 18:2, we see an error that I think all of us probably fall into at one time or another. It says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. And if that doesn't describe our social media culture, I don't know what does. And of course, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. It's simply wise, it's wise counsel, it's wise instruction to tell us, for us to understand, for us to implement the idea of hearing, listening intently, hearing what's said, understanding what's being presented before we jump in to respond. And again, I've been guilty of this. We can sometimes be more concerned with the next thing that we've decided we want to say rather than what's being said to us. And the person who is the most likely person, I mean, we all may do it, the most likely person to respond without actually hearing and listening to what's being said is a person who has a quick temper. They lash out in anger at times without fully hearing what the issue is or what's being presented before them. They don't hear, they don't understand, they just respond or react in anger. They're not considering what would be the most God-glorifying response to what's being presented to me. They're just zinging out their vengeance with their tongue. And that's why James adds to this idea that we need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. He mentions that. He adds that in there. He fleshes that out a bit more in the very next verse, in verse 20. It says, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, God's anger is perfect. God's anger is holy. He is angry at things that go against his perfection, his holiness, his glory. But our anger is tainted with sin. Even our righteous anger, if we were to have such, is still tainted with the sin of the fall. And I would say the vast majority of times that we are angry, it is sinful anger. It is selfish, focused anger. So this is all wise instruction, I think, for any relationship, any conversation, being quick to listen, quick to hear, slow to respond, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Wise instruction for any conversation, any relationship. But I think that counsel, that instruction is never more so, never more wise, never more important than when we're hearing, when that conversation, so to speak, that we're having involves the Word of God. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we quick to hear what the Word of God says? Don't answer too quickly, right? Be slow to respond. Consider well, are you quick to hear? Do you desire to really hear, even when it rubs up against maybe your personal desires? Are you quick to hear from God's word? Now, the Pharisees would have said yes. Pharisees would have said, absolutely, we love God's word. But they weren't. They really did not want to hear what it actually said. They were blinded by their own desires. Jesus said many times during his earthly ministry, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. And he said that often regarding the Pharisees because they were deaf spiritually. They did not want to hear what he had to say. They thought they knew it all. They were full of pride. They were unteachable. And Jesus referred to them, as many of you remember, as whitewashed tombs. They were outwardly beautiful, but as he put it, inside they were full of dead people's bones. And this is not what Christ intends for us as his people. We need to be listening for the word like a mother listens for the cry of their newborn baby. When that baby cries, the mother's ears perk right up. I remember when my oldest son was born, and I've shared this story with a few of you. My wife was absolutely exhausted, as new mothers would be. And she asked me if I would do the midnight feeding on a particular night. And so she could get some rest. I, you know, said, sure, no problem. And so the baby, my oldest boy, was sitting in the little baby seat next to the couch. I was laying down on the couch watching a basketball game, watching the Knicks. And midnight, the baby was used to eating at that time, and he woke up right on cue, ready for his bottle. And I was out like a light. I was out. And as the baby cried at the top of his lungs, I was snoring blissfully, not 6 inches away from him. Now, the house that we were renting at the time, you had to go through the doorway from the living room where I was, through the doorway, around the corner, down the hall, and a left turn into our bedroom. From where I was sitting, if you go directly to where she was, there was a wall, a hallway, another wall, and then the room where she was at. And immediately, when the baby cried, and she's going, okay, he's up, he's probably fixing the bottle. He probably, you know, bet another minute or two, and then I won't hear the cry anymore. Maybe he's a little delayed, maybe it took him a little while. No, he's not getting up. So she got up and came around the corner and saw me out, but her ears were attuned to that child. And when she tried to wake me to get me to feed the baby, apparently in my, she swears this happened. I have no memory of this. But she insists that I picked up the remote control for the TV and pointed it at the baby. And she said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm trying to turn it down. I was not quick to listen. I was not quick to listen. Actually, I was more like what we see in Hebrews chapter 5:11. I had become dull of hearing. But she was quick to listen for her child's cry. We need to be like that with God's word. We need to be slow to speak, quick to listen, hear what God has to say, and then slow to speak. When we're challenged by God's word, whether it's by hearing a sermon, whether it's through our own private study, or maybe someone actually confronting us with God's word, when our conscience is pricked, we can tend, when those things happen, whether it's something that kind of hits us in a sermon, something as we're reading, like, oh, wait a minute, I don't know, or someone coming to us actually saying, look, I think you have a problem here, we can so easily take that and go, yeah, but it's not that big of a deal. Yeah, it kind of says that, but maybe it doesn't really mean that in my case. We tend to explain away what we've heard. We tend to justify ourselves. No, Jesus didn't really mean in Luke 14:33 that to be his disciple, you need to renounce all you have, did he? He didn't really mean that. He didn't really mean we have to deny ourselves. I'm sure there's another interpretation. We need to be slow to speak. We need to take the time to study and meditate on his word. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us through his word. The word used, by the way, when we say meditate on God's word, we don't mean what you typically think of when you hear meditation. The word the Bible uses for meditation is not referring to emptying your mind and chanting a mantra or something. It gives the picture, the idea, the word picture that's associated with that is a cow chewing its cud, just chewing over it, thinking on it, thinking of the implications of what it's saying, going over and over the word in your mind and seeking how to apply that to your individual life or situation. So we're to be quick to hear from God's word, slow to respond in trying to shift off of what it says in relation to us, and we are to be slow to anger. Because sometimes the word of God can convict us of sin and we can become uncomfortable because of it. And we generally don't like that. And so we can become angry and stop listening to what God is telling us through his word. We need to be slow to anger, allow God's word to penetrate us and to transform us. And sometimes he's going to use the people that we would least expect to help him do that, to be his hands and feet and mouth. A number of years ago, a Christian brother sent me an email, and he pointed out to me in this email, using God's word, he pointed out to me an area of my life in where he believed I was in sin. Now, anytime something like that happens, it's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be like, oh yes, this guy just told me I'm in sin. But I had a real particular struggle here, because from my perspective, my view of this person that was pointing out my sin, my view was that the very problem that he was confronting me with and saying was an issue in my life, I think he had that very same problem. And at least from my perspective, I thought it was much more glaring in him, right? Kind of got this takes one to know one thing, right? You know, like my initial reaction when I received this email was anger. I'll be honest. I was quick to anger. I didn't even want to consider that he might be right because I felt like, how dare he say this to me? Thankfully, it was sent in an email and it wasn't a personal thing, so I actually had some time to process and think about it and pray on it and reflect on it before I responded. It may not have gone well otherwise. But ultimately, what conclusion I had to come to after my initial poor reaction was it didn't really matter in this case if this other person had the same issue. It didn't really matter. I had to examine myself against Scripture, not against him. Regardless of who was the messenger, is there any truth in what he's saying? And I wish I could say that I came to the conclusion he was wrong, but I didn't. And the Lord really used that confrontation to reveal sin to me that I needed to repent of and I needed to ask forgiveness for. And God often will use uncomfortable circumstances to bring about repentance and change in our lives as his people. God cares about us. He will accept us as we are. But he cares about us far too much to leave us there. And he's far more interested in our maturity and our holiness than he is our comfort. And praise the Lord that that's the case. When we hear from God's word, not only do we need to listen, but we need to let it impact us. Look at verse 21. Therefore, like because of this, because you're to be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness, with humility, the implanted word. You got several contrasts going on here. Putting away is contrasted with humbly or meekly receiving. So you're putting away the sin, you're receiving humbly God's word. The rampant wickedness surrounding us is contrasted with the word implanted in us. The implication that the evil wickedness, evil and wickedness can destroy us is contrasted with the word of God that can save us. Now, this is not referring to salvation in the sense of when we become a Christian, but it's referring to sanctification, God's refining process, growing us and conforming us more and more to Christ. When we repent of our sins, we put our trust in Christ, and God declares us to be righteous immediately, but then for the rest of our lives, he's working in us through the Holy Spirit to shape us and conform us to the image of Christ, to make us righteous in actuality. And he promises that he's going to be faithful to complete that work that he started in us. We're to receive the word with meekness, with humility. Of course, God calls us to humility throughout Scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. James 4:10, in this very book, a few chapters ahead, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Of course, the greatest example of humility that we can find in Scripture is the greatest example of humility in all of creation. Certainly in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, we see this. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. There's our union with Christ language, right? Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Our society, of course, teaches us to look out for number one. God says, deny yourself. Christ says, deny yourself. The world says, achieve. God says, serve.
Did you know that there is religion God calls worthless? In James 1, 26 and 27, James lays out what God considers worthless and what is true. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world.
James spent some time on the idea of getting the tongue under control. So much of our lives is dominated by what comes out of our mouths. Ask the Spirit to work in you today to help you gain mastery over your tongue. Thank you for joining us here today on Road to Calvary. You've been listening to Pastor Dave Cook as he makes his way through the book of James. Road to Calvary is a ministry out of Calvary Baptist Church in Riverhead, New York. We would love to connect with you. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube. We have links under recommended resources on our website, cbcriverhead.org. Once again, that website is cbcriverhead.org. Also under the recommended resources tab, you'll find additional helpful websites and podcasts to guide you as you dive deeper into your relationship with the Lord. If you'd like to join us either in person or online for our weekend services, you can find all that information on our website as well. That website is cbcriverhead.org. Well, we're glad we had this time together today, and we hope you'll return next time for more on Road to Calvary. Thank you.